Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rancho Marietta Community Service District regular personnel committee meeting. It's October 14th, 2021. It starts at 10 a.m. So at 10:05, we're going to get going. Amelia, do you have any hands or any chats or comments or anything?
I don't have any hands. Let me bring up my screen here to see if I've got any chats. No hands, no chats.
Excellent. Thank you. Moving on to item number three. Tom, I don't know, or if this is Paula in your arena to just discuss the resolution recognizing Gate Officer Rick Diaz. Everything looks extremely well to me. I just wish we could have given it to him last year. These are things I like to do in person, and with COVID, I just don't think it was fair to the employee. We kind of did that with Mario, waited a little bit, but I think that personal interaction and those types of things speak volume for the organization. So, Randy, if you don't have any questions on it, I would just have staff have it available for us. And Amelia, we've obviously contacted Rick to see if it can fit into his schedule.
You know, this is a resolution. So the way I think that it should happen is that we'll adopt the resolution if the board wants to at the meeting on October 20th, and then we'll actually present it to him at the board meeting in November, which is the 17th.
Perfect. That works for me. Randy?
Good for me.
Thank you. Moving on to item number four, I read last night. I just wanted a light read before I went. And again, I'm only confused in two areas: the use of the English language and facts. So, other than that, wow. I guess where I'm going to start is thank you. The organization's been around for 40 years. The difficulty is we don't have a real good formalized process history of how to do business for those 40 years. So Paula, from my experience in government, you know, one of the worst things we can have is a outdated policy still in effect. An example I'll use is the hydrant policy, where I just asked to have it removed so we can move forward on some billing. But to update this and to go through it, I truly understand the time on task to try and get to the organization into the 18th century. So I truly appreciate that. With that being said, I personally did not go line by line item. I looked at the subjects, got a feel for what you're trying to do. So to that extent, that's my review of this portion of the committee report. Randy, I'll kick it to you.
Well, my only comment is that I think we knew that this was going on, that we were underpaying. Obviously, we can't attract people. We can't keep people. And we knew that our salaries were what this does is it just quantifies it. It tells us exactly where we are versus comparable other people. And so this is something well overdue, and certainly something that we need to discuss at length.
Right. And I think that's where, you know, this is that first part of the discussions. And I think we are going to be able to identify some tasks that we're going to need better explanation on, or if not explanation, maybe how we're going to implement either versus time versus budget, those types of things. And so I think that this is just that start of it. Having a document like that that is up to date, all those other things kind of puts us in a much clearer state as A, an organization, and then B, as directors, as a resource to understand what staff is trying to accomplish, and then quite honestly, staff understanding what the organization wants to accomplish and how they want to do it. So I get that from that standpoint. With that said, I'll kick it to either Tom or Paula.
So this is a big package, you know, as Randy pointed out, it's kind of encompassing everything. And you know, Tim, to your benefit, thank you for trying to read the entire packet. It's, I'm sure, was very riveting, but it's an awful lot of information. And so to start with, the first thing that we looked at was the personnel manual and the paper performance manuals. And there's a lot of outdated language in there. There's a lot of inconsistencies. The MOU is contradictory. So, you know, we run into the question of, the MOU supersedes the personnel manual. In some cases, the personnel manual supersedes the MOU. And so we really wanted to clean up a lot of that language. I did talk with the OE3 union steward, and he is very well aware of the changes that we're proposing. And some of these will require a side letter to accomplish. So that's just one thing we need to keep in mind. I've had active communication with him for quite some time, and he's presenting all of this information. Once the board determines which direction to go, I'll meet with him again, and then we'll do the meet and confer process and start working on the side letter if there are those specific changes to the MOU. Basically, one of the drivers of this was the compensation study, and just kind of surveying some of the staffing here, some of the things that I've observed, you know, in my 6 months that I've been here, how difficult it is to hire staff, how difficult it is to retain staff. You know, we kind of looked at a lot of things, and, you know, obviously pay and benefits packages are critical to retaining staff. But one of the things that is highlighted in this report is the work schedule. You know, working Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 is kind of, I don't want to say archaic, but I think that, you know, that was the consistent workplace practice for however many 40, 50 years. And what's happened over the last, I want to say 20 years, is alternative work schedules, and it allows people to create better work-life balance. And part of the reason that, we haven't been able to retain some of our staff to the work schedule. A lot of people live an hour away, and Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 doesn't allow them to have doctor's appointments because medical practitioners are 8 to 5 and some pharmacies close at 5 o'clock. And so you have, you know, our family functions. So it lends itself to the work-life balance and complaint, and that people are spending 11 hours commuting and sitting in the office or out in the field. And it, because of the way that society functions with, you know, personal, you know, commitments, leaving it to the weekends doesn't always allow us the time to accomplish those things. And so we end up taking time off of work, or we have to call in sick, or we take a personal day. And it reduces our productivity levels. And I think, you know, just in surveying some of the staff, their concerns are hour-long lunches. You know, we're remote. There's really not a whole lot to do for an hour. And especially with the summertime, you know, the guys working in the field, it gets pretty hot in the afternoons. It'd be great if they can leave half an hour early and not take an hour lunch. And so, you know, there are things that we do to try and accommodate that. They come in earlier. Sometimes if it's really hot, then we allow them to take a half an hour lunch. But I think it's beneficial for everyone to be able to have a shortened lunch period, leave a little earlier. And then the 9-8-80 schedule was something that was brought up quite a bit. And Having that extra day off every 2 weeks really allows staff to push their appointments off, their personal projects, their, you know, personal errands and things like that. And it gives them that extra day to catch up on maybe household errands, you know. And I think it gives people that break, you know, you get that work-life balance. You're able, you don't take time off and you're able to do things on your own time. So moving forward, the proposal for the personnel manual, I created a list. I put it in this staff report just so that a kind of a high level overview of some of the corrections that were being made. One of the things to note is that some sections were corrected to reflect California laws. Some language was corrected regarding probationary period. There was a section that allows separation of duties that needed to be created. We also corrected admin leave for, or increased admin leave, which is part of the benefits packages for unrepresented staff. We also increased the vacation accruals as well to be more in line with market current industry standards. And then the final thing was something that the board had tasked me to do, which is removing the language requiring the board of directors to hold an appeal hearing during the progressive discipline process. And so we wanted to make sure that the board was removed from any of those processes. And so that's pretty much it with the personnel manual. The pay for performance manual is a compensation manual for exempt employees. And so there were just a couple of changes to that. One of the things that I removed was just redundant language for MOU for represented employees there. And their MOU dictates their wages. The pay for performance dictates exempt wages in that evaluation process. Then we added additional compensation for exempt employees. Again, this is part of that benefits package that the Coffin Associates study referred to. You know, the district doesn't compensate, provide additional compensation other than certification pays for the field workers. And so one of the things that when you get into the exempt employment, you know, we're not eligible for overtime. We don't really get to, we're not really compensated for our education. You know, that's the standard and minimum qualification coming into the job. And so one of the things that I spent quite a deal of time doing is reviewing other agencies that were included mm-hmm. Within the Coffin Associates work study, and did a quick survey of one of the extras that they offered. And so we added a technology and equipment compensation. Now we have this existing reimbursement, but it's on a reimbursement basis. And so, you know, I can't speak for anybody else, but I know that I take my laptop home when I go home for the weekend and I work on my laptop, you know, all weekend long, you know, periodically when I have time, or if I have certain things I need to do, I'll have time out of my weekend. So that's using my Wi-Fi, that's using my office, that's using all of my home equipment, my monitors, all of the things that I purchased for myself. And so we have this stipend that we're allowed a $50 reimbursement when we turn in our utility bill. And so this really is just a replacement of the reimbursement allowance that the district already provides. It's just making it an additional reimbursement instead of employees having to submit on a monthly basis. This is, you know, here's my utility bill. Another thing that we did was add the annual deferred compensation, which is a 2.5% district matching contribution towards the exempt employee's base annual salary. To note, this is only if you are contributing to deferred comp. So if you are not contributing to deferred comp, you don't receive the match. And then just other grammatical spelling errors and removed outdated information relating to, you know, 10 years prior. So aside from that, again, I've met with the union steward. I'll be working with him again once these this package goes to the board with any changes. We'll be meeting again and moving forward with meet and confer based on board's recommendations. Anybody have any questions on that?
No, very, very good, Paula. Just a couple of thoughts. For me, I come at everything from a very clinician type standpoint. So bringing in the human side, I do appreciate for the employees, just speaking for myself. I'm going to open it up to Randy or Tom, whoever wants to comment or ask questions first.
Let me step in with a couple of questions. First, to comment, I love the idea of the flexible work week. I wish I could do it at my company, which brings up the question of the 8-hour workday. I know that I can't do it because the California Constitution calls for an 8-day workday, and then everything after that is has to be compensated accordingly. Are we somehow? My question is this going to cost us something, or are we somehow don't have to comply with the 8-hour workday?
So the 8-hour workday is restricted to if you work 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. We do have alternate work schedules are allowed under California law. So if we move to, for example, we actually have two employees who are on 410 schedules. They do not get 2 hours of overtime because they go beyond that 8-hour day because their work schedule is designated as a 410 work schedule. So moving to a 9-8-80 schedule for all employees will not incur any overtime.
So I guess what I would want Dick to look at that, because I guess I don't understand why the CSD would be different than a private company. And I'm sure you're right that that's the way it is, but it's contrary to how I have to operate. So I have to ask the question, why is that? Are we somehow as a government entity that we can designate 410s, but if we were a private entity, we couldn't. That's just a question that sure. I would like to get answered.
Yeah, I will absolutely send that to him and get his professional answer. The short answer to that is yes, because we are a government agency, we are able to have alternate work schedules. But I will send that to him for his official input. Yes.
And again, I love the idea of the of flexible work weeks. I wish that I could do it in my company. And then in the performance manuals, these perks, the 2.5 matching contribution, which I don't really have a problem with it if it makes us more competitive in attracting people, I think it's great. How many people does this apply to?
It's eight people.
Eight people. So we're not talking about a tremendous amount of money here.
No. And the reality of it is at this point, zero, maybe one of those eight people is currently contributing to deferred comp.
Well, I would think if we matched that should go to 100%. But
you would hope,
I may be wrong there. That's all the questions I have, Tim. I think Paul is to be commended on the amount of work that she put into this, and you're to be commended that you read the whole package. I'm impressed.
Well, thank you, Randy. I think the question you're asking, And we'll just confirm it with Mr. Shanahan. Because it is government, do as I say, not as I do. So I understand why you asked that question on the 8-hour workday. General Manager Tom.
Yes.
Any other additional comments, thoughts?
I think, I want to commend Paula. She did a great job throughout this agenda. It's all her work. Making ourselves more competitive is going to allow us to retain quality management as well as recruit quality management. That's been a problem for before I came here. And I think this is going to go a long ways to fix it. A shortcoming in the district hiring policies and retention policies. So that's all I have to say.
Perfect. Again, Paula, as I started out, you know, you've heard some thank yous. I know you're working the Union Stewart side, all those other things. This is one of those tasks, and just for everybody else's edification, you know, we did give you your number one priority was to adjust how the district functions in its appeal process in that archaic way, because there's more efficient ways of doing it. And that kind of was one of the things that got us going. But the amount of time and time on task to do this, I get what we expect your position to do just isn't getting done. And I understand that. And I'm going to reiterate that to the rest of the board members. I know Randy gets it. So just being on the personnel committee. So we're going to kind of move that forward from a different venue as well. So with all that being said, if I understand this correctly, what I'm thinking is we move this forward. And then probably what when we approve it, my thought process is you would come back to the committee, basically go, okay, here's the items for the union I have to accomplish, and kind of some timeframes for the unrepresented. Here are the things I've now got to accomplish, timeframes, costs, some of those types of things. Am I seeing the process going correctly?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So by us moving this forward to the board, then gives you direction that out of this, you're going to have another set of tasks broken down to what the specifics are within this.
Yes.
Okay. With that, let me back up. With that said, Amelia, do you have any hands, chats?
I do not.
Thank you. So with that being said, Randy, I feel comfortable with us moving this forward. And then once we give staff the approval to move forward, then, and again, whether it's the November or December timeline, and again, this committee can kind of meet. It doesn't have to be, you know, a quick turnaround, but when you're prepared, I think you bring those specific items broken down into those tasks. And if there's any additional direction from the other board members, then you would come back to the personnel committee and then work on those individual subject matters. So I'm ready to move it forward, Randy, if you are.
Agreed.
Okay. All right. Number, and again, thank you, Paula. And please don't ever make that big of a document dump to me again. Oh, no. Was my mute off? I'm sorry. Moving on to number five, discuss 2021 salary survey, please.
Yes. So this was originally commissioned in June or July of 2020. And due to staffing changes, leadership changes, just the timing wasn't there. And so revisiting this, we decided to go back to Coffin Associates and have them update the original numbers presented in last year's draft report so that we could have an updated discussion on unrepresented salaries. The original intent to have this done is for all of the district positions to be surveyed around the time of doing the labor negotiations. And while the represented staff were able to negotiate a three-year contract using some of these numbers that were found within the original one, unrepresented staffing there is a separate process to go through in order to address salary deficiencies. And so one of the things that has been a key driver of a lot of these items being brought today to this committee meeting is some of the information found within this report. And basically the report goes through their data collection, their methodologies, their spreadsheets, the comparator agencies, the internal salary relationships based salaries. But one of the key things that we found throughout here was that, you know, our base salaries, especially for the unrepresented staff, were significantly under market. And the other benefits package piece was just non-comparable because they either didn't exist or they weren't competitive. And so it was better for Coffin Associates to just do a base salary compensation study versus an overall compensation package study. And so that's kind of the driver for a lot of the discussions that we're going to have today. One of the things that they talked about here is how to roll out, getting us up to market speed, whether we do it all at once, we can do it over a series of years. Some of the things that they mentioned are, you know, typically within 5% of market rate means that the position is considered competitive. One of the things that, and I'll get to this in probably the next item, is that a lot of our unrepresented positions were significantly under market and needed adjustments. And then one of the issues that we have with our security staff is that it's very difficult to find comparisons for them. And so there are comparisons, but there are challenges that we encounter when trying to do a salary study for some of those positions. So that's just kind of a brief overview of the report. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the next item. Does anyone have any questions on this?
Randy, I'll kick it to you before I go to Seth.
Well, no, we'll catch it on the next item. I have some questions, but they can wait.
Perfect. Tom?
My only comment is that putting us in a position where we're at least at the medium level of our comparative agencies puts us in a better position to retain staff. And we've lost some management staff recently, primarily to the economic reasons. So I would like to think that as complex as Rancho Marietta is, running water, sewer, drainage, and security, as well as the trash contract, that we're competitive at least with the agencies that are only doing water or sewer. And this methodology is putting us there. So I think it's a good idea to follow through with putting us at the medium salary range. So that's what Paul is going to talk about next.
Perfect, thank you. A couple of things that jump out to me. The first one was a comment that you just made, Paula, and that was board gave approval or even direction July 2020. Folks, that's over a year ago. And so we've been unable to facilitate getting that done. And my point here is it's not an excuse. It's reality. We don't have the staff. We've been going through staff, and it's as the general manager just said, more pay, less work, et cetera, et cetera. So I understand those things, but my point here is it can be from staff getting us reports to staff fulfilling something a year later. It's not that we don't want to do it. It's reality. And as a board last year, we understood as absolute change needed to happen at the leadership level, that things were going to fall off the table. And that's a cost to doing business. But we're now at a point where that glide scope that the district was on a trajectory, and an example I'll use is reserves, We're starting to level that out and get it going the correct direction. So just making that little comment, Paula, really, like I said, just jumped out at me. Moving on to the document itself, I agree with you, Tom. We've had to make some, instead of come in at entry level, you would come in mid-range or even top step. So I get all those things. I think by going by this methodology, I may not agree with everything here, but there are some things that really jump out at me in this process where we tried to do the best we could in like comparison. Some areas like security officers and stuff, we're in the higher percentile, but in the other areas, you can see where we have, and the screen that you have, Amelia, on there is one of the ones I have, just really jumps out at us. Now the task is we've asked for this question, so now be concerned on the answer. And I think Director Janko said it best. We kind of knew what the answers were going to be. Now that you've provided this information for us, to me, the next step is going to be, what's our implementation strategy? And I think we're going to have to go back and work with staff and task this out and really set what are our priorities as far as the implementation, from how soon can we do it? Is it a couple fiscal year cycle? What does it do to the percent of employees versus total revenue, et cetera, et cetera? But I think that this is moving forward, the process that gives us the direction to move that way. So, That's my thought on that. Amelia, any hands, chats, please?
No hands, no chats.
Okay, perfect. So really, it's an informational item that needs to move forward. Is there action that needs to be taken on it at this point, Paula?
No, it's just a receive and file.
Perfect. And again, I think this is going to be one of those things for the other board members, you know, when they get an opportunity to look at the personnel packet, either prior to the board meeting or when we get the board packet, that, again, this is that information that we kind of knew. And now that we know it, we have to take some action, and now is going to be that process of sitting down with staff and going, okay, how do we get there? And is the 5% market rate acceptable? An example I'll use is when the board makes a decision, a policy decision of our reserve funds are going to be at 70%. Do we say that we're going to be 5% market rate? And then that gives staff clearer direction on how we do staffing within the district. So thank you. Moving on to item 6, discuss unrepresented employee salary.
Yes. So to piggyback on the comp study, again, this is basically us taking the time to review the salary comparisons and within the draft report. And basically, I mean, as we saw, the lowest underpaid, the most underpaid employee and unrepresented was the utility supervisor at 14%. And significant because, you know, these are crucial. That's a crucial position, you know, for our operations. And we don't want to have somebody with longevity and historical institutional knowledge leave for a position that may have less workload with higher pay. And so we really need to take a look at some of these salaries and adjust them appropriately to make staff whole. And one of the things that we've kicked around here is specifically the number one, the director of operations. So the director of operations, the director of admin, are considered comparable in their level of area of expertise and education requirements for the position. And because these two positions require equally educated and skilled professionals, what we're recommending is adjusting the salary schedule for the director of operations to be aligned with the director of admin. And so what this annual increased cost would be at top step for both positions would be $19,344. The second thing that we're looking at is increasing the unrepresented classification pay scales to bring the salaries in line with market. So for example, take the utility supervisor position, that's 14%. We wanna make him 0%. We don't wanna bring him in within the 5% because that 5% is gonna increase back to 14% in 3 years. And so we wanna make sure that we bring our employees whole so that in 3 years, when we do the next compensation study, that they're not 14, 15, 20% below market. They're within the 5 to 7% range, and it's still considered comparable within the market and competitive. So one of the things that the cost of those salaries, if we were to bring those in this current fiscal year, and if everybody was at top step and everybody received the pay raise, this would be an increase of $62,688. This can be absorbed within the current budget. We have significant salary savings due to the number of vacancies that we've carried since the beginning of the fiscal year. And we can offset that cost with our existing salary schedule. So that's something to think about. You know, obviously the board needs to really fully understand whether or not that's something they wanna move forward with. And then one of the things that we also wanted to do was apply the salary increases retroactive to May 1st, which is the beginning of the evaluation cycle for all of the unrepresented staff. And that would, again, depend upon the evaluation that was conducted on May 1st as well. And so not everyone may get a salary increase. It would be based on their last performance evaluation, and then the increase would be based upon that. And so we believe that the new base salary rates for unrepresented employees should be applied across the board based on where they fell below the market rate. And so with that, I'm going to open that up to questions.
Very, very good. I'm going to start with the general manager, and then I'll go to you, Randy. Tom, your thoughts, please.
My thoughts are just mirrored what I said in the previous item, and this is what this is the action item taken from item number 5, the salary study. And my recommendation is to go with Paul's recommendations that we put our management staff at the medium level, and then also to align the director of operations with the director of administration is a clear message that both those directors are valued at the same level. And it's important that we keep this and that we, going forward, when we go to, after people leave or retire for whatever reason, that we're allowed to hire at a competitive rate and get the quality staff that we need to, as the district grows, we start adding more homes, we start having more complex reports that are required as an urban water supplier, and the regulations that we have to follow are not decreasing, they're always increasing. So this is a very complex organization, and I think it's important to hire and retain the right people. So I applaud Paula for this work. These are difficult discussions to have in the private sector. As Randy knows, you can up people's salaries quite easily, and the competitiveness is based upon what people are willing to work for. In the government, we have to have these discussions in public. And so the transparency is important, and that's what we're being very transparent here. But I do highly recommend that we move forward with this because we need to hire, we need to keep the right people. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you. Randy?
Paul, when you recommend that we bring the salaries to, I forget what the terminology is, that within the job market or something, is that the same thing as when Tom says bring them up to the median salary range? Are the two comparable? You've got some real numbers here. You know what this would cost us, so you must know what your I didn't see anything in here, a chart or anything that says exactly what salaries we're proposing.
If you scroll down, Amelia, thank you. So that's the director of operations adjustment. And that shows what the current top step versus proposed top step would be. And then what the monthly increase and the annual increase for those two positions to align them and what their top out salary would be. The next page, the attachment below, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So the proposed top step of 12,214, is that the median from the study?
No, that is the number from the study that I believe is like 4.7% below market. So market to me, I think Tom and I might be saying the same thing, but I have different terminology. So if we are considering below market, market is that 0% mark. So they're right at the level where they need to be. But this position is, I believe it's according to the study, it was like 4.8% below market, which is that right at market value.
The in the study, they've got charts for all of these job descriptions, and they have an average monthly, and they have a median monthly, and then they have us at plus or minus. Is this $12,214 the median from the study? Is it the average from the study? I get that we're below the average and the median right now. What I'm asking is,
Amelia, I'm going to ask Amelia to go to the salary survey for the director of operations.
Yeah, I believe it's appendix 4.
Give us a minute to get there.
Do you have a page number for me, Paula?
It's page 1 of 1, but it's an appendix. It's right at the very end of the survey.
Oh, okay.
So you have it's appendix 4.
Watch this. So
it should be that one. This is what their percent difference is, the market and range placement.
There's another chart in there where they, I don't want to waste everybody's time looking at it, but looking
for scrolling up, Amelia, it's the second appendix.
But it has average monthly and median monthly. And so the question is, are we talking about this? Is this number the average median or is this the average salary or the median salary? Because in a lot of cases, the two are separate. Are different numbers. Cool. And while we're looking, the only reason why I bring it up is because I really believe that we should be looking at the median, because the median is a more, it's better at comparing us to others. Whereas the average takes in all of the outliers. If someone is paying a huge amount of money to someone for a particular reason, but the median takes in, hey, 50% of the people are making more than this, 50% of the people are making less than that. And so I think I'm hoping that we're basing all of these numbers on median,
we are set,
not average. Okay.
Yes, we are.
That was my question. The second question I have is, I read in here somewhere, I don't want to make Tim feel bad that he wasn't the only one that read through this whole 257 pages. But somewhere in here, I read that the people that did this study recommended a 3-year, that we balance this thing over the period of 3 years. Did I imagine that, or is that in here somewhere?
No, that is correct. It is in there.
I heard what you said about if you just do it over 3 years, that in 3 years you'd be off by 5% again, or whatever that number is. But if you built that into this and did it over 3 years, so that you said, not only do we want to be back to the median in 3 years, but we want to be back to the median plus 5%, wouldn't that be a more prudent way of approaching this problem versus just paying the people that we have on board now more, starting back in whatever your date was, back in May, or retroactive to March or whatever it was? It's a rhetorical question. I don't expect that you've got the answers to everything. I'm just wondering out loud if doing this over a period of time wouldn't be a better thing for the district than just throwing money at this problem today.
No, I'll jump in there, Randy. So I agree with you. I think this is going to be some of that process for the board to go, yes, we do want to be at the median level. That's what our comparisons are going to be. And that gives staff then direction to move forward. So a couple things that jump out at me on this is some areas were close, other areas were way behind. And so, Paula, my thought process here is as the committee moves it forward to the board, I guess I would see this as if the board says, yes, we agree with the salary adjustments, then it would be, if I understand it correctly, we go with the consultant's recommendation, a 3-year process. And what does that look like? And what are those numbers? What does it do to the percent of cost of personnel to overall revenue? Those types of things. What I would also say is, that's that part where we do have unspent personnel funds, which have to stay in personnel. And I understand that to the extent of what flexibility does that give us? Can we get it retro and it be a three-year process? Or do we see the numbers and go, it can potentially be a shorter than a 3-year process? But I would see the board coming back and tasking staff to break down the implementation now that we're seeing the real numbers here, and giving you that direction to say, like Randy said, we're going to be at the median there. And that's going to be our point. Randy, I think you're spot on. If we don't say we want to be at the median plus that 5%, we just wasted staff's time, because we're behind again. And I think that's got to be that board policy, either board policy or board direction to staff. This is where we want the employees to be. So to shorten all that up, Paula, I would see if we, as the committee, agree to this, it would task you again for more specific work to work this process through. Is that correct?
So I can, in terms of the relation to the increase to the budget, I can tell you that if we were to do this all in one shot in 1 year, it would increase our budget by 1%. Right now, our 21-22 budget, our salaries and wages, which includes all of the benefits and the liability costs associated with those and other payroll costs, is 55% of our budget currently. So to add that $63,000 in this current fiscal year, which can absolutely be absorbed by all of our salary savings, would only increase the overall budget for the salaries to 56% of the total budget. So I hope that answers that question.
It does. And so to that end, I'm just trying to think through how we're moving forward with this. I would think those are the specific type of questions that we would probably need at the board level to talk about it. An example being, if you will, with the unfunded personnel costs, could that potentially carry over into the 22-23 fiscal cycle and the costs aren't absorbed until second half of that fiscal cycle, et cetera, et cetera. So I can see where there might be, from the board's perspective, what does this look like? I get what you just told me on a 1 year, but then what does it look like on a as the consultant said, a 3 year process? But I would tell you do a 1 year, 2 year, and a 3 year. That way the board has some options to go, here's what we want, or we've got to ask you some more specific questions on what it would look like or take. Does that make sense?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Amelia, do you have any hands, chats?
No hands, no chats.
Thank you. So Randy, I think, you know, the comment that you made on the median is to me as important as when your committee, yours and Martin's on the reserve saying we need to pick a percentage, and I'm using 70% just off the top of my head. That is given staff recommendation, or that is given staff direction to move budgets forward because they understand the district's needs. I think this would help, and you did the negotiations, this would help staff at all levels understand where the district is going as well. So I think that comment you made to me parallels where we need to be on the reserve study. That way, the arguments, the discussions, it's already been addressed. This is where the organization needs to go at this level. Any other comments on this, Randy?
No, I think you summarized it pretty well for me.
So, Paula, what I see happening here is I think we need to move this to the board. So this is that part, Tom, I'm not clear on. We're going to move it forward as a committee as it is. I don't necessarily, and obviously, Paula, you're taking notes, and so you're going to have to some of our questions or comments prepared at the board level. But I don't know if we have you start tasking all these items and prepared for the board. I would say not, just in case the board votes, hey, take it as is, as opposed to let's see in a couple of options. I don't want to cause more work first, not knowing the direction we're going to go. Tom, do you concur with that?
I concur with it mostly. I think that we should take this forward as is, but I also think Paula can be prepared to discuss what it looks like if these changes are implemented over a 2 and a 3 year period versus year one. My recommendation is that we go as presented, because we are behind the times here. And I would also recommend that as part of this, we do that 3-year automatic or adjustment that we bring forward to the board every 3 years and say, here's where the salary survey says we are today. And we do that prior to the May 1st salary adjustment period. Had we not gone through what we've gone through over the past 18 months, this is an item you would have seen last February or last March or April. Bringing Paula on board has allowed us to finally get to some of these things, and keeping the likes of Paula and Michael and Kelly and Amelia on our staff, as well as, you know, Ron and Travis and Rick, is critical to getting this district in the right position as we grow. And we're all of a sudden growing fast. We're putting up more houses in the next, you know, in a 24 month period than we did over the previous 10 years. And it's a hard workload to keep up with, and the quality of the staff makes that doable. So in short, I think we take it for it as is, but we can be prepared to talk about what a staging would look like, but it would just slow it. And I think this is a pill we need to swallow and move forward.
Okay, understand. I respect that. Paula, any last comments?
Nope, I have my marching orders. I know what I need to do.
All right, thank you. Amelia, any hands, chats?
No hands, no chats.
All right, thank you. Item number 7, discuss gate and patrol officer reclassification.
Yes, so one of the things, again, that we've talked about is in the past, one of the things that I did with the admin office reorg is provide that upward mobility and succession planning. And one of the things that we're currently experiencing with gate and patrol officers is that we don't have that pathway to promotion. We don't have the upward mobility. And so the positions are as such that they're on the lower paying scale, and we tend to, when we have a vacancy, we don't tend to receive a lot of candidates for these types of positions. And so one of the things that we really looked at was the pay, you know, the duties, and found that there are some positions, there are some staff that are currently performing at a higher function than some of the entry-level staff. And so we found that it was necessary to create a distinction between an entry-level gate officer and an entry-level security officer, and the more complex duties of a gate officer and a patrol officer. And so with this, what we did is we split the security gate and security patrol officer into a 1 and 2 classification that's interchangeable. So we're not adding new positions, we're just changing the classification to create a series. And this allows us to bring people in at a higher step, bring someone more experienced in at the second level versus the first level. One of the things that it allows us to do is promote in place as well. And so we've updated the salaries to reflect that. So there's the series 1, which is the existing salary schedule. And then we've created an increase for the 2, which is the more complex level in that classification. And this will give us a distinction between those who are coming in at entry level versus those who have, you know, a higher level of experience and knowledge and education and so on, and we can compensate them accordingly. And so this basically is approximately a $15,000 increase in base salaries based on the projections. However, that may not be a cost incurred. One of the things that we are looking at with this is that this is not an automatic increase to an employee's pay. This is something that needs to be evaluated through the evaluation process. And when an employee comes up for their annual review, you know, if they are working at a higher complex level, and the supervisor feels that they should be promoted within place to this secondary position, then that's something that we'll work through the evaluation process. Again, this was another item that I met with the shop steward for OE3. He and I and their union rep discussed at length, and they are excited about these changes and are very hopeful that this will go through. They're looking forward to having that upward mobility and the availability for a higher rate of pay for some of the more complex functions that they perform throughout the day. So again, this will also be a side letter. We'll have to adjust the salaries once this moves forward. And we are continuing to recruit for our existing vacant positions, but this will also allow us to have more flexibility when we hire those incumbents for these vacancies. Are there any questions?
All right, thank you, Paula. Before I go to Director Janko, Tom, your thoughts, please.
My thoughts are this is a much needed thing to happen for security staff. Come to work today, I see that Burger King is now hiring, and I truly believe they're paying more than our entry-level gate officers. And we need to get this in order and keep these employees that are such a value to the community and are engaged in the community and greeting the residents and their guests on a daily basis, knowing how to handle the gate operations when it starts getting backed up, and working as a team. And to do that, you need to have retention. You need to have employees that worked here for more than 6 months while they're looking for a job with, you know, the fire service or another type of correctional operation or police operation. It, you know, the salaries are not high in general to begin with, but now they have a chance to work upward to a more reasonable living while still maintaining their employment here at the district for an extended period of time. So I applaud again, Paula, for doing this work. I believe this is a long overdue change in our security, our most valuable, our public facing people.
Perfect, thank you. Director Janko.
I like this proposal. I think it makes a lot of sense. I'm totally in favor of it, and I think we ought to take it to the board with our blessing and as submitted.
Perfect, thank you. One of the thought processes, behind this was, I think there's available capacity when we move to these level two. And the example I'll give is just the video monitoring, fact-finding for incidents that we have to do. I think this is going to allow us some of that available capacity for employees. Not only are we rewarding them, but we're giving them, a larger workload, but we're giving them more responsibility, and they're capable of doing that. And so to that extent, this is one of those things, Tom, I get what you're saying, that Burger King might be offering more. I know our benefits package is 1,000% better, but at the end of the day, it's what's needed. It's been in the hopper again since last year. I know that the former security supervisor did a lot of work on it, thought it needed to be done before she moved on. I know that Kelly currently thinks it's the right way to go. So I agree. We're going to move this forward as is to the process for you, Paula, to take the next step. And, you know, that'll be that. Just confirming it, I agree with you. This is probably a side letter type of thing, and we can get that. And then the implementation. What I would do, Paula, is potentially maybe give me a better picture of how it would be implemented. And I just don't know if we do the annual evaluations from when employee hire date. Is it just done, you know, before a fiscal cycle's done? Maybe just that explanation of when this would take effect, or more importantly, how it would take effect. And again, I don't need a ton of work from you. That part, I apologize. I just don't have my head wrapped around.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thank you. Paul, I'm sorry, Amelia, any hands, chats, please?
No hands, no chats.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to item number 8. And before we do that, just for everybody's edification, the personnel committee is really kind of like an ad hoc committee. We don't meet monthly, thankfully, because we don't have to. We've asked this, and we knew that the agenda was going to be this large. And some of this stuff, as Paula said, you know, board gave direction to the general manager back in 2020. And a year plus later, we're getting to see the work that speaks to where we're at with the workload issues and those types of things. And it's not a negative. It's just where we're at, folks. So please be patient as we're more than halfway through this process. So we are on to number 8. Paula, please.
Yes, thank you. So this is a request for 2 full-time accounting technician positions. I have spent quite a bit of time in 6 months here kind of evaluating some of the office workload. And you know, we've had a lot of turnover in the office since I've been here. And I think every single employee that I have is brand new and in training. And one of the things that, although unfortunate, exiting staff gave me the opportunity to really evaluate the workloads. And one of the things that sparked this was when we did the original admin reorg with the accounting technician, the office technician, that's what I had originally started looking at was their duties. And then after reclassing the accounting assistant and the office assistant positions to the technician, because they really were performing at a higher level, then I started actually digging into the workload. And one of the things that the district that I found is we have extremely overcomplicated processes for a lot of things, if not everything, within the administration office. There is not one thing that I have touched that has not taken me 20 minutes to an hour to 2 days to do. And the same thing goes for the staffing, even at the clerical and the technician level. And one of the things that I think may have facilitated some of our turnover is the sheer volume of the workload that we encounter. And because the volume of the workload is such, we've become burdened with a significant amount of backlog that we're trying to catch up. And so after evaluating all of the tasks that are going on, I've had to take on a lot of the workload myself. I've identified a lot of things that we're not doing that we probably haven't ever done. There's some things that, the more complicated things tend to push to the side so that someone could spend a full day, but then by that time it's 3 months behind. And so we're trying to catch up, but we don't have the staffing to do. And so what we've done in the past is we've hired part-time staff to augment. And the problem with hiring part-time staff, albeit a great thing to have, is that they're not invested in the district the way a full-time employee is. Part-time employees can come and go as they please. They don't have to work a full 40 hours. They can work 20 hours. They can quit at a moment's notice. And we had 2 of our part-time employees leave within a matter of 2 weeks of each other back in June and July because they found full-time workload that gave them the benefits. And so the workload that they were completing is now put back on our full-time employees. And so it's this vicious cycle of now we're investing time in part-time employees. We're training them, getting them up to speed, bringing them on board, getting them to where we need them to be in order to perform these tasks and help us get caught up with the workload. And then they find a permanent full-time position somewhere else with better benefits or that has benefits, and they leave. And so every time we cycle a part-time employee out, we're losing that institutional knowledge. And the more you cycle part-time employees out, the less knowledge is transferred from the next person to the next person. And because we've relied so heavily on part-time people, there are some things that maybe I'm not even aware of that haven't been done. And so as we run across these things, I'm kind of keeping a tally and noticing that the volume of the workload really dictates full-time positions. And so the current accounting technician position has a significant amount of responsibility on their plate. And they process accounts payable. They process the receivables. They do the utility billing. They do HR payroll. They were handling the backlog of the phone calls in the front and assisting with the office technician to complete tasks. And so it's a very task heavy workload, and it's created a backlog because, again, as I said, you know, we have these overcomplicated processes here. And so staff tend to push aside what they can't get to because they need to handle the more immediate needs like customer service. You know, our phones ring off the hook. We have people coming in all day long. And so we want to make sure that our residents are getting good customer service. But on the same token, that time that they spend with the customers and the residents takes away from the time from them to do their jobs. And because the tasks are so much, that the backlog keeps getting further and further behind. And so one of the things that that I would like to do, and what I'm proposing, is adding two full-time accounting technician positions and splitting these duties. So we're essentially creating two new positions with working titles. One would be utility billing specialist, and the second one would be HR payroll specialist, if I think I have my titles correct. The reason being is that specifically with the HR payroll, what was being done in the past was being done at the very basic level. We had no benefits administration. We don't have a training program. We're not up to date on certain reporting. We kind of have a sporadic way of handling our workers' compensation processing and our risk management liability claims. There's several people that are just handling portions of the process. And so things aren't getting done. They're not being communicated correctly. We don't have a single person that's responsible for it because everybody is stretched so thin. And so there's a lot of day-to-day HR, payroll, onboarding, offboarding, all of those functions that that we should be doing aren't being done. And for an example, I'm processing payroll. You know, as the director of administration, that is not an appropriate use of my staff time. But I don't have the staffing available, and my staff don't have the capacity to process payroll right now. And payroll processing takes quite a bit of time. Again, a lot of HR components that go along with that, and it really dictates the necessity for a full-time job. The other thing is utility billing. Utility billing is our bread and butter. And I've been here for 6 months, and I've seen, and this is to know, you know, I want to give Yolanda a lot of credit. Yolanda Pauly is our project manager through Utility Star Platinum. And she does an amazing effort to manage our monthly utility billing. And she assists us almost daily with work orders and escrow files and move in, move outs and changing out meters and processing a lot of the day-to-day stuff that our staff don't have the time to do. And then she processes our utility billing for us every month. And we really need to bring this in-house. We need to have a person that can answer those questions, that understands the system, that processes those things on a monthly basis, and can provide better customer service to our residents. You know, we have so many things that go on with utility billing that I don't think, you know, even district employees understand, much less the residents. You know, there's a lot of things that go into ensuring that we're doing our utility billing correctly and maintaining our systems, maintaining our processes, maintaining the escrow files, and doing things in a way that leave our residents satisfied and know that we are doing our jobs to the best of our abilities. And the AP, the way that we have that structured, we process so many things. AP itself is a full-time job. And so by splitting the one single position into three positions, being able to bring our utility billing back in-house and being able to do all of our HR, payroll, benefits administration, reporting, will give us the ability to just be a better district administratively and not have to constantly look for consultants or part-time workers to assist us and then leave. You know, we want to invest the time and energy into someone that wants to invest in the district and wants to be with the district for a long term. And so that is really what this proposal is about. Again, this is also because we would be adding new positions with the union. They are obviously on board. They love adding new members. So there's no change to the pay. There is a cost to the district by adding these two positions. The total benefited cost for for these positions, it's projected approximately $160,000. I'm rounding up. And we would need to ask the board for an additional appropriation for personnel and salaries to allow us the ability to recruit and hire these positions. But these two positions are so critical that my recommendation would be that the board, that we move this to the board and that the board approves it so that we can start recruiting immediately and start regaining some structure, some workflow processes, get caught up on the work, get full-time employees trained up to speed and managing our administration office a lot better than we have in the past. And so that's all I have on that. Does anybody have any questions?
Very good, Paula. I stepped out. So could you start at the beginning? Just joking. I think that was very encompassing. We're seeing a common theme here on what the organization is attempting to do. So this is one of those some very serious discussion needs to take place. Tom?
Well, I need to tell you, this is why we brought Paula into the district, because she is very skilled at organizational needs and understands this district very well after just a short time. She's asking for two critical positions and for good reason. Our HR work is sketchy at best, and we do the best we can, but you know, it's a lot of work. Our complicated payroll because of certification pay and standby pay and all that stuff makes it, you know, very, you got to really know what you're doing. And now Paula knows how it works really well, because she's done payroll for the past 4 or 5 paychecks. And I can't emphasize enough how important it is to have a good utility billing person as we start adding new homes to our system, which is complicated, and you have to have continuity with the person doing the work. And customers come in with complicated questions as they want to understand why their water bill is such. So both these positions are going to benefit what we're looking for out of our district as we grow with the 140 homes, the 67 homes, and the 198 homes with the residences. It's critical for us to keep our customer service at a high level. And we don't need to see a bunch of negative comments about our level of service to the community, which then hurts the community as a whole. So this is our job, and we need these staff to do our job correctly. Those are my comments.
Thank you, Tom. And I feel the passion in what you're saying. Director Janko.
Well, I probably want to reserve my comments because this is a big topic, and I understand what Paula's position is on it, and I agree that customer service is very important. My only reservation is, if it was me and I felt like I needed two more people, I would probably bring on one more person first and reevaluate after I get that person up to speed as to whether or not I would want another person. I guess that's my only comment at this time. I think it's just, in my experience, is when you bring on a new person and you're training that person, sometimes it's a negative for the first training period, because you're spending more time training than you're actually getting work out of the person, and to split it up and reevaluate, I think needs to be considered. And secondly, this may very well be necessary because of what Tom said, with we're adding new houses, not only more work, but more revenue. But those houses aren't here today. They're in the future, whether that be 6 months out, 12 months out, 18 months out. So to me, it might make a little more sense to spend some money to get back up to speed on this, but put some in reserve to see where things are going in the next 2 years. Those are my comments.
No, very good. Thank you. Understand. Again, Paula, I think as we work our way through this specific process on item number, what are we, 8, I think it is. Yes, that to me, what Randy is echoing is very similar to what you echoed, just from a different standpoint. I appreciate the temps that we have. They've done a couple of them done extraordinary work for us. And then others, we've put in a position, just like we've promoted former employees, we put them in a position to be successful. And at the end of the day, I appreciate that. However, that's the cost of doing business, and we have to understand that. Best example I can use is the beloved city of Stockton Police Department. Their training ground is excellent for their patrol officers. Those police officers move over to lateral positions, and the city of Stockton is a revolving door for that. So I understand that, and Tom, you and I have talked about that. My thought process here, Paula, is it kind of goes in line with some of the other items we've talked about. You know, what is this going to do to our staffing overall percentage? You know, are we up to 57%, 58%? What are some of our options if we get one done in this fiscal period? What does the second fiscal period look like? What is those workloads being staggered? But the other important thing to me is, does it take your revolving door training time with the temps and, you know, the four temp employees we have right now, are we swapping four out for two? I think those are going to be some of the questions that I have and the other board members are going to have as well. Does that make sense, Paula?
Yes. And I do want to say, keep in mind that two of those temps are actually working in a full-time capacity in our vacant positions. So right now we have Minaj, who's our accountant, who is with Robert Half. He's a temp. And then we have Trevor, who's doing our AP processing, and he's with Apple One. So we currently have two temporary staff that are working in full-time positions. And I also have a retired annuitant that's assisting Minaj to help clean up a lot of the accounting and general ledger stuff. And then we have Sean, who just started a few weeks ago, to assist with the utility billing. So I just want the board members to be aware that, you know, there is a trade-off, but there isn't much of a trade-off because two of those temps are specifically working in a full-time capacity and doing very important work. So we definitely don't want to lose those. But also I do want to, one of the things that I didn't mention is that, you know, we do have an ERP implementation coming up. And so that's something that I think the board should keep in mind. The ERP implementation is not going to eliminate workload. It's only going to streamline our processes and allow us to tackle a lot of the things that we have not been doing and maybe do things a little bit better and be better at our jobs. And so, you know, I think as far as the timing issue goes, I will certainly put a package together to see what it looks like financially. But I think that, you know, the board needs to understand that there's a human component to this and we're burning out our staff. And we don't want to burn out people and then go into an ERP implementation and not have enough capacity to go through the ERP implementation and then have the staffing that are up to speed and trained to do all of the day-to-day duties that that they're tasked with. And so I just want to kind of throw that out there, a little bit food for thought.
Not a problem. And just so Director Janko doesn't look bad. What again is a ERP?
Oh, it's an enterprise resource planning system. This is our financial system. It is the replacement of all of our general ledger, HR payroll, payroll processing, and then our utility billing. So we're basically combining all of our standalone systems and shadow systems into a single entity that will process everything for us.
Okay, thank you. So what I'm thinking here, Paula, with what Amelia has on the screen right now, if right below it was where you had the four temps. No, stay right there, Amelia, sorry. But right below where you have those two positions, if you simply listed out the four or five temp positions we have with the cost, total cost that we have with them, and those duties that they're doing, et cetera, et cetera, that might give me a better visual picture, if you will, on A, the workload, B, what we're expending. Again, some people say, oh, it's a temporary employee. It could be 20 hours, but if you're telling me I already have a temp, two temps working 40 hours, that's full-time work. So, and full-time tasks that need to get done. So just breaking this down out of everything, comparing it to the temps, that workload work that happens. And Randy, kind of one of your comments we don't have the housing or the houses on board right now, but if the theme is consistent, and it has been, as tasks get put on us, and we know we're going to urban water district, et cetera, you know, tasks get pushing down to staff. And I think Paula's comment was spot on that when a temp replaces a temp, I don't know what we don't know is not getting done. I do know I physically have sat in the general manager's office and watched him go through the process of issuing checks, and the difficulty that we're having because it just doesn't get done. And that's that internal customer service as well as external customer service. But I think as we move forward with some of this, Paula, staying with this item, the comparison of where we're at, we get all that background information that we're kind of asking for in the other areas with this. And then what are we looking at the temps as we move forward? Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Randy, anything? Tom, anything on this?
Tim, I do. I'm sitting here thinking about. I wasn't really in tune with the amount of hours that the temps were spending. If I'm hearing right, we've got four temps, and they're probably two are full time, the other are half time. So let's say that they're the three full time equivalents. And with those three full-time equivalents, we still have our administration doing utility billing and payroll. I guess two ways of looking at it. One, are these, if we've hired two full-time people now, does that work get done, or are they just taking the temp's place? Or it seems like we still need the temp's because we're not even getting the utility billing and the payroll done with three full-time equivalents. Am I missing something?
Yes, Paula, can I jump in real quick?
Yes, go ahead.
So Randy, Paula's doing payroll, and we have an outside consultant working with me to do utility billing. So I'm personally probably the most knowledgeable doing utility billing. So I'm very involved in it. Bringing somebody on full time will not require me to do utility billing and do a lot of utility billing related activities every month. And likewise with HR specialist, it could free Paula up to not be doing payroll every other week. In addition, like we cannot have temporary staff doing payroll. They have to be full-time backgrounded staff. And utility billing is complicated, and it's tough to teach somebody in a short amount of time as a temp to do something that complicated, and then they find a better job and off they go with their benefits. So some of the most critical things we do, in addition to providing water and treating, you know, running our wastewater plant, is just making sure our employees get paid, making sure that we collect the revenue from our customers in a consistent and good customer service manner. So a lot of what Paula is not saying, although she touched on the human resources part of her doing the payroll, is the fact that she and I are doing a lot of stuff that when people come in trained, we won't have to do that anymore. And we can focus on the high level issues that you guys are having us try to deal with, which right now we're either doing our work on the weekends or late, or it's just not being addressed. Those are my
thoughts. So the other way of looking at it that I was trying to get to is, if we bring in these two full-time to do these specific tasks, are we going to still require temps to do other tasks, or are we fully covered? Or do we even know?
We should not need, if we were able to hire the two full-time positions, we would not need the use of temps any longer. I think one of the things that I really want to emphasize on the distinction between the temps that we have, the two temps that are working full-time are in vacant positions. And so the accountant and the accounting technician, those are vacancies that we currently have that we've filled with temps. The other two temporary staff, one of them is working a full 40-hour work week, and the other one is working 32 hours. So they're essentially full-time. And because they are temps, as Tom stated, there's a lot of things that they cannot do because with the HR piece of it, because we cannot have them in the files and dealing with pay and confidential information. That piece alone is a significant need within the district. And then again, with the utility billing, if we were able to have a full-time position, we could eliminate the use of the temp. So that's, I just wanna make sure that we're clear on the distinction of the two temps that are working full-time, they are sitting in a vacant position that we're trying to fill.
Okay, I get the full picture now. I was a little fuzzy there, but I think I see the big picture now. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good question on that, Randy and Paula. That's why I think how you've presented everything in this packet, because it is a huge one. You did more than fine. Now that we start the individual items and break them down, that's where we can now get into the more specifics, if you will, after having some discussion, talking to staff, learning a little bit about it, just to move forward now to the board. I think you have a little bit better understanding of, for these positions, what additional or what that needs to look like. Does that make sense, Paula?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, Randy, if I understand the conversations correctly, we're going to move this forward to the board. Obviously, staff will have our questions or our thoughts put into their staff recommendations moving forward, with a better look at what the time on task what are full-time equivalents total for these positions and the temps look like, and what it would look like for this fiscal year, where those funds potentially come from. And Paulo, you know, we keep, so I'll take that on after we address this. So if I understand everything correctly, Randy, we'll move this forward and then we can make a better decision as a board with the more clarity from staff specific to this, if I understand us correctly.
I agree. I think what you're saying is when we bring this to the board, we ought to have the numbers of what this costs versus what we're spending on temps. And I think that's going to that's where the decision is going to be made, I believe.
Yes, I agree. Well, and all we're trying to do is really flush out those first layer questions, and then have staff be prepared for the rest of the board, because we've kind of worked this through, if you will. So to that extent, that's where we're at. So Amelia, any hands or chats?
No hands, no chats.
Okay, thank you. Paula, thank you. Item number 9, discussions of district employee survey, please.
Yes, I've got this one, Tim. Paul and I talked quite a bit about really getting an idea of where the morale is here at the district and what kind of contributes to positive or negative morale. And so we met with a municipal resources group. They're a consulting firm that has, you know, about 80 consultants who work on various types of governmental activities. In this case, we asked them to come in and put together an employee survey, much like we're doing with the security survey. They develop questions, and then they go to all of our employees, had the opportunity to go online and fill out, it's about 50 questions of things. Do you feel like you're supported by your manager? Do you feel like you're supported by, you know, your fellow workers? Do you have the tools available to you? Do you feel safe in your job? Are you proud about the work you do? Those types of things. And then they put those into their little computer and come out with, you know, the stats on those questions. And in addition to that, they're going to do interviews with staff. And the first part, I should have said, the first part about the survey is totally, nobody knows who's answering what questions. So that's totally, what's the word I'm looking for?
Anonymous. Confidential.
Confidential. And then the MRG representative will do one-on-one interviews with quite a few of our staff. And they're going to come back with a report that tells us generally across the board how we're doing. And some of the things we're doing, we might get a bad report card, and that's going to really help us to focus on where we need to go to improve upon. And some of the stuff, I'm hoping that we're doing very well, and we can leverage how we're doing that to focus on the things we aren't doing so well. And just, again, this is a personnel committee meeting, so this is a personnel type thing. And it's something that I've seen done occasionally, and it really helps management talk to the board about things that we need, or come to the board and talk about things that are going on that are really good, and helps us find holes in the organization where we may not be paying attention and we need to pay attention. It's all about employee morale. It's all about having employees that like to work here, that want to stay working here. So we aren't spending our money on training people all the time, that we're spending money on helping our staff enjoy their jobs and have pride in their work.
I know.
Will you mute everybody?
Yeah, hold on a second. Amelia, could you mute everybody, please?
You do mute all and then unmute me. Okay. Okay, I'm back. So this process started about 2 weeks ago, and we expect to have something either by, we may come back to the personnel committee in November or December with the results. Eventually, I believe the plan is to bring something to the board, like a report card. And, you know, out of that might come, there might be some recommendations on things we want to change. So, and something like that could be that the utility workers think they need more equipment or different equipment to be safer or to keep up with the times. That the gate officers want to have different things available to them so they can do better work and be happier in their job and patrol the same way, as well as the managers. You know, they may find out that I need to do something different and that I can focus on that as well. So that's something we wanted to tell the personnel committee we were doing. And if there's any questions, I hope I can answer them.
No, very good. Director Janko.
No questions. I'm good.
Very good. Thank you. And yes, it's one of those, it's been needed. We're getting there. We are slowly checking the boxes. Item number 10, discuss policy on workplace conduct. Paula, I believe this is you.
Yes, this is me. So just again, going along with reviewing all things personnel, a lot of our HR related policies are a little outdated. And so just wanted to put this on the radar that we're going to be coming forward in the next few months with some changes to our harassment policy, workplace violence policy. There are some things that have happened over the last couple of years, some case law that has now allowed, not allowed, but has included generalized bullying and abusive conduct within the workplace to be considered part of harassment. Prior to that, it was you were a protected class. And so if you didn't fall within the protected class, you were therefore not harassed. And that's kind of a summary of it. But, you know, over the last few years, a lot of things have changed and a lot of state and federal laws have changed. So we want to make sure that we are applying the laws appropriately and accurately. And we are up to date on our employee manuals, as well as our district policies to ensure that the district shows that we are not tolerant of these types of behaviors within the workplace. And so really, this is just a kind of a placeholder so that these policies, as they come through, the board will be aware that these are due to changes in both state and federal laws. And so we want to make sure that we have all of these included moving forward.
Excellent. Thank you. Tom, any comments before I go to Director Janko?
No, I don't have any comments.
Perfect. Randy, please.
No comments.
Very good. Amelia, any chats, hands?
We've had a quiet audience today, Tim.
That's disappointing. Very good. Moving to item number 11, director and staff comments. I'll go to staff first. Paula, I'm going to go to you first, since a majority of the lift here has set with you or within your area of responsibility. So now's your chance to let me have it.
Well, I do want to say, you know, thank you both to you and Randy for taking the time to hear the discussion. You know, these are definitely, you know, there's a common theme amongst this whole committee meeting today, and really it's about our people, and we need our people to understand that they are valued. We want them here. We want them to be here. We want them to want to enjoy their jobs, you know, and we want to compensate them appropriately. And we want to give them the ability to come in and be able to have a breather as well. You know, that's the reason why we're asking for additional positions. And we want to compensate our staff appropriately and make people whole so that they don't find other employment and we lose that institutional knowledge. You know, this is really about people, and we want to make sure that our people know that we appreciate all of their hard work, all of their efforts, and we want them to stay, you know, and we want this district to be the place to be. You know, we want our employees to know that they're appreciated for everything that they do. And you know, we're taking the time out to address those needs and concerns. You know, in my role, I hear a lot of complaints and I hear a lot of resolutions. And really, it's a matter of how do we apply those resolutions with the limited time and resources that we have. And so, again, going back to, you know, the patrol and officer reclassifications, you know, this gives us as supervisors and managers the ability to be flexible in how we hire and fill vacancies. And it gives us the flexibility to promote within place for some of the employees that stand out and reward them for all of their hard work and their efforts. And then adding additional staffing, it just lightens the load. And there's so many benefits for that, for our internal staff that, you know, we want people to want to come in and be happy to be at work. And so really, and that's kind of rounding out with the workplace conduct, but the employee survey, you know, we're getting a lot of feedback. And I believe we've had over half of our employees fill out the survey. It's due tomorrow. So I'm hoping that we get a good 80% of responses. And then we'll have a good roadmap of what we need to do moving forward. And so that's all I wanted to say. You know, thank you for entertaining all of my proposals, and we'll keep moving forward.
Very good. Thank you, Tom.
I want to applaud Paula for the hard work. I'm very grateful she came to work here at the district, and I think the district is benefiting tremendously from the many years of her skill in government and organizational structure. And I really, you know, want to emphasize everything that was talked about today, but especially I think the district needs to go to a 980 schedule. So our staff can get their car worked on. They can go have their doctor appointments on the Fridays they have off. And going forward, we may even come up with a suggestion that the district office be closed on Fridays, and that the other Friday that when we're here working, we can get a lot of work done without interruption. And that's a very common theme across the state of California, where a lot of public agencies are just not open on Fridays to the public. And it's a whole work-life balance. And I want to, again, thank Paula for bringing all this forward. It's stuff we've talked about. It's stuff that I've never had time to address. So, kudos to her, and kudos to you guys for taking this amount of time as committee members, because I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate the involvement of all the board members. I've never worked at a place where you guys were this hands-on, and I think it's a tribute to your dedication to Rancho Marietta and its citizens and the hopes and dreams that people have for this very special location in California. Those are my comments.
Very good. Thank you, Tom. Director Janko.
Tom, are you running for governor or congressman or what?
Running to or from, I don't know.
I can tell you one thing, Director Janko. He has never said that he's thankful that I'm involved. So I'll follow up with him. I'm not sure. He's never said that to me.
Huh, that's funny. I've never heard that from, well, that I won't say.
I'm moving on, Tim.
My lots of parts and pieces here. It took a while, but I think it's all coming together in my brain where this is all going, and it, to put all the parts and pieces together and see the big picture. I'm really happy to hear Paula talk about the employees as just not this, you know, we always say we don't pay enough, but really it's been my experience that a lot of having a great organization has more to do with other things than just paying people well. In fact, it's my belief that people just want to make sure that they're appreciated, that they're making the amount of money that they should, but they want to be part of a team and they want to be appreciated and all these other parts and pieces that Paul has put together in these policies, I think might be more important than than the salaries. And so kudos for all the work. And I think we're headed in the right direction.
Thank you, Randy. I agree. This is one of those things that for some folks can be very uncomfortable. For other folks, it can be one of those that we have to move forward. No matter for some, if it's uncomfortable or not, especially when we're talking about item number 10. But I think this is also that maturity. I agree with you, Randy. There's a lot of moving parts here. I think staff will be able to, now that we've got through the first layer, be able to give the board a better look at each individual topic, if you will. Paula, you know, this is one of those, it's a heavy lift. I can't tell you if it's any more important for you to do other things than address some of these issues, but we know stuff is still falling off the table. And this goes to all of staff, really, that as board members, we want everything and we'd like it yesterday. But in reality is, as a board, we understood when we were actually gonna, for practical purposes, rebuild this district and get the glide slope of a downward trajectory on a lot of areas to stabilize that out. And we're just seeing the final phases of that come into place. And again, I think these are very difficult areas. We've got, as a board, some decisions to make. Some are going to be fiscal, some are going to be long-term strategies, but at the end of the day, that's what, as a board member, we're here to support staff, because at the end of the day, we take care of the community, and really it makes it easier as a board member when we have competent staff, because I can tell you, in my short term as a board member, I haven't always had competent staff. So with that said, if there are questions, Paula, please reach out to Director Janko or myself as you start to put some of these items together for the board, just so that we're on the same page type of thing. Also, Paula, separate note, would you please call me? I got a couple of texts on some former residents I'd like to speak to you on. So if you would do that right after this board meeting, or I mean this committee meeting. But I think this is a reflection, Tom, of all the things we've wanted to get done over this last year plus, when Director Merchant and I sat down with you and talked about the objectives, and we're getting there. So to all of staff, the board is concerned. We are getting there. It's taken a while just because of what we've gone through. So to that, I can't thank staff enough. I'm going to move on to item 12. Randy, again, thank you for your time. But item number 12, if you concur, we can adjourn this.
You sure you don't want to hang around and talk about this for another 15 or 20? I agree to adjourn.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day. Thanks, Randy.
Thank you.